This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Sharitz and Julian. Mohammed Abdul Khalid, who is the Prime Minister's economic advisor, he's rebutted the Economic Affairs Ministry's insistence on referring to the poverty rate of 0.4%. Now, Khalid, who did extensive work on poverty prior to becoming the PM's advisor, has said that it's undeniable that poverty rates have been lowered since independence from nearly 50% to 0.4% today. But this is based on absolute poverty numbers instead of relative poverty.
Yeah, because if Malaysia wants to become a developed country, the measurement has to change, right? So it has to be more comprehensive. And as you mentioned, Lynn, it has to be based on relative poverty. It means that, you know, what does it mean to have a comfortable life? And it includes multidimensional factors such as access to quality schools and as well as healthcare. So when we spoke to Philip Elston, the UN Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty, Human Rights, if Malaysia were to go for such a comprehensive measure, our country's poverty rate would be at around 16% in 2016.
That's absolutely staggering. And earlier on, we were also talking about the overseas returning workers to Malaysia found that they were not very satisfied in Malaysia. And we believe that it's not necessarily the money, but also the quality of life, which really highlights this point about relative poverty as well.
Indeed. But to get more of a perspective on this issue, this morning we turn to Wan Yashin, researcher at IDEAS. Thank you for joining us this morning, Yashin. So there is absolute poverty and a relative poverty. Let us know, do tell us, what is the difference here?
In terms of measurement, absolute poverty is a poverty where we take the poverty line based on a standard of living. So whoever that's below this poverty line, we consider poor. So this poverty line actually takes into consideration food and also non-food items such as clothing, shelter, and transport. As for relative poverty, it's a relative measurement, meaning to say it's relatively to your other citizens in a country. For example, like OECD, the relative poverty line actually takes the median, half of the median income. So that is the poverty line, and whoever that is below that line will be considered poor. The poverty rate varies according to the poverty line, and the poverty line for different countries, depending on richer countries will have higher poverty line, and poorer countries might have lower poverty line.
And IDEAS have noted that multidimensional factors are needed to measure poverty more accurately. What exactly are these factors, and what sort of data is needed to measure effectively, really?
Yeah, so in terms of multidimensional poverty, you look at a few different aspects. One is education level, and then the other one is health, and also the third one is living condition, and then your income as well. So in terms of the measurements and weightage to each indicator, it depends on each country or how much they will weight each element. For example, education, they might put it to how many person in the household that do not have any education. Then from there, you will weight it accordingly. So the main three elements are education, health, and living condition, and also income,
And IDEAS also has called for more transparency in data acquisition. What has IDEAS, as well as other institutions, have done to acquire such data?
It's not that we don't get access to data. It's more about getting access to micro data and also disaggregated data. So, for example, if we are to ask for a wages and salary survey, then we might not get the whole data set. So what we understand is that we might get 30% of the data set instead of the whole data set. And then we will have to pay for the data. So it's what we're asking for is more to access to micro data and also disaggregate the data. For example, in national statistics, you will see that the Bumiputra group is classified as a whole group. So it will consist of Malay and also the different indigenous tribes. People. So it would be good to have disaggregated data for Malay and also the other indigenous people so that we can see what's the condition of poverty or what is the state of poverty for these indigenous people rather than as a big group. Of course, we can group them together, but it would be good to see how the subgroup is doing.
Thank you so much, Yashin. And that was Wan Yashin, a researcher at IDEAS, underscoring the importance of having a complete aggregate data in order to fully understand this issue. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.